Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and today's movie, oh boy.
I'm so excited.
I think it's going to be some fun.
Some fun.
I think so. I've got a lot of thoughts about it, but before we get into it, did anything scary happen to us this week?
All right. Something actually genuinely really scary happened to me this week.
No. Uh-oh.
So I went to the beach with my family last week, a week ago, exactly, actually. And we stayed in a really cool old house built in 1919, an old wooden house, lots of creepy corners. I kept feeling like I was seeing someone out of the corner of my eye. I wasn't. I don't think, but I fucking lost my phone inside of the house. We've left the house. It's a week later. We've left the house. The phone is still there. It's somewhere in the house, and my entire family like ripped apart every room looking for it. We looked in every nook and cranny, and it is fucking gone. And when we were looking at Tim's phone, which we share our location services, it said it was in the house. Like, you could see the phone was in the house somewhere.
It just went into a
weird
portal.
And here's what happened. I put Silas down for a nap. I looked at my phone for like a second, and then I was like, no, Henley, you need to read on this vacation. You're not just going to look at TikTok the entire time. So you need to put this phone down so you can focus on reading. Somewhere in the span of before Silas woke up, I realized it was missing. I looked everywhere for it before he woke up and never found it. And that was last Monday. And today is Sunday. It's been almost a week. I have no phone. I still don't have one.
And now that you're not there anymore, when you check, are you still able to check
Tim's phone and see, like, is it still in the house? Or is it, has it died?
I'm sure it died.
It died. So it stopped registering event after like 3 days, it stopped registering. But also, this is a reminder to everyone to go to your settings and toggle that little Find My iPhone thing on, because I never did that. And I guess unless you toggle it on, it doesn't work. So I wasn't able to use the Find My app to search for it.
How would that have been different from the location services?
It like, even if your phone's on silent or whatever, it'll blast a noise. It. Yeah. Okay. So the phone will start making like a beeping noise.
Oh.
And so you can locate where it is. And it's so funny. My dad fucking uses it like it's an everyday thing. He'll put his iPad down and forgets where it is. And you'll just hear it going off, and you'll hear him shuffling around like the wrong corner of the house.
The wrong corner.
It's like, it's in this corner, Dad, the other corner, the other option. Anyway, so I don't have a phone, and that's why I'm not responding to any text messages. That's why I'm not doing anything on Instagram whatsoever. And it hasn't been good or bad. It's just been fine.
It just is.
Because like, you still have work to do and stuff. Sometimes when you lose a phone, it's like, oh, I can just, you know, not take care of any of my responsibilities for a bit. Pretend I don't exist for a while, like a little break, a little taste of freedom.
No, that's not happening.
It'd like, be great if nobody had phones for a week. But when it's just you, it is sort of like, well, fuck. Can't talk to anybody. Can't. People are still going to try to talk to me.
And I can check all my messages on my laptop. So I'm basically just like looking at my laptop more often, which is not preferable. And I did read more probably than I would have otherwise, but I just read some really dumb beach books. So it was honestly, could have been looking at TikTok, probably would have informed me more. But anyway, you guys, I don't have a phone. Sorry, I haven't been responding to any texts.
It's okay.
I'm sorry that you lost your phone. I mean, it's clearly fallen through a portal to hell. I just
don't see any other.
Or another dimension. Oh, have you guys heard about,
oh God, what,
the like UFO situation?
No, tell me.
No.
This is from Game of Roses. You know how Bachelor Clues loves aliens and he goes on little tangents about them. But it's true. I looked it up. NASA is like developing a UFO program. Like there have been more sightings of UFOs lately.
Oh,
and so they're officially looking into them. And there's a theory that it's actually another dimension. The frequency of the sightings makes it think that it's another dimension.
What?
And because the nuclear power that's happening right now in Ukraine and Russia, it's like they're coming more because it will, if this planet gets blown up, it fucks up their interdimensional travel.
Where did you read this? This sounds like a Daily Mail article, but I feel like it's not.
Well,
even.
Part of it is from Game of Roses, and then part of it is from like space.com.
Space.com. Okay. What's so crazy to me about this, aside from, you know, what that is that I feel like, do you have whiplash in terms of how quickly the government went from like, no, that's not real. Those are crazy people. Those are real. Yeah, we're developing a program. Like, it's always been real. And okay, fine. Jigs up. We'll tell you. And now it's a big thing that we do. It's like, it must be like how kids feel when all of a sudden it's like, wait, Santa's not real. What the fuck? When did you just decide that you can tell me this?
Part of what's crazy about it is that the conversation ends there, right? It's like, they're like, yeah, they're real. But then it's like, we don't know what they are.
Yeah.
We don't really know what's next. And everyone's kind of like, okay, we just don't know.
I feel like our brains are just kind of conditioned to minimize huge things in general because
right.
of how many life-ending, like how much life-ending potential threats exist.
Yes.
And so it's just like, well, I can't think about any of that too hard because if I do, I'll like,
my brain will
cease
explode.
To exist.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like I'll just never be able to function in the world. So I have to pretend like, oh, interdimensional.
Yeah, whatever.
Not a big deal. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, on the one hand, I'm like, oh my God, what does that even mean? What does that mean in another dimension? Like I want to find out. And I also, yeah, similarly think, well, can't do a thing about, you know, if any of that's true, okay, that's how I feel when people
right.
talk about like, are we in a simulation, which maybe we are, or all this stuff about, I'm just like, literally, I can't do, I'm an ant, like I'm a little ant mm-hmm. on a log, like I can't do anything about any of this, so like, who cares? Who cares?
Also, there's part of me that is like, are people just watching too many Marvel movies? Is that what's happened? Is that everyone who's looking at these UFOs, they're just like, the cinematic Marvel universe, multidimensional, just travel. That's probably happening here too. Let's just apply fiction to our lives.
Or has it entered into fiction because it's there's an element
because it's real.
We can only conceive of what
a real chicken and an egg situation. Chicken and an egg.
It's a real Marvel movies are interdimensional travel. Which one came first? A classic chicken and egg situation. Oh my god. What can be done? Nothing at all.
No.
Nothing at all from me.
I don't know. What else? Anything scary happened to you, Emily?
Well, Sammy, you and I both did this, which is we went to a cat show.
We sure did.
I've never been more jealous in my whole life. I've never been more jealous in my whole life.
I got more responses of this cat show than any life event that has ever happened to me. Any huge news, everyone wanted to know, what is that? How do you go? And I got to give credit to my friend Jess, who sent me the information. She's like, I'm going to go to this cat show. And we, of course, immediately said we had to go. And we, of course, immediately invited Sammy. We went to this cat show. So you know what dog shows are. Everybody does. And it's that, but forget. And it was just this, was in this like Civic Center auditorium in Glendale. And just a bunch of cat people sign up their cats and they bring them, and it's like little booths, like everybody has their little carrier on a spot on a table with their cats in it, and it was insane and heavenly. And like, I'm gonna go every time I can. The amount of joy I felt upon entering the space, words can't contain what it was. It was more cats than I've ever been around. They were all so beautiful or weird looking or like specific. Mm-hmm. The owners are fascinating. A lot of cat shirts, a lot of very colorful hair. The average age was probably 70. It was unbelievable.
There was always cats being carted around by their owners too.
Yes, like owners just walking through, like, excuse me,
cat coming through. And so just everywhere you look, a cat is like being carried right by you, shuffled right by you.
The first 15 minutes we were there, I was completely overwhelmed. It was such sensory overload because I'd be like, oh my god, look at this cat. Oh wait, cat coming through over here. Look over here. Oh, there's cats at the table over there. Wait, I hear. Like, I like couldn't figure out what to focus on because it was all I wanted to look at everything at the same time. It was so wild, and it was incredible. I saw the craziest cats I've ever seen in my life.
So were there like contests or little, yes, you know how in a dog show they'll have little sections? So what were the
it was
the
mainly like breed, best in okay, breed situations. They weren't doing like tricks or agility or anything, but as part of the like okay, so they would bring, so it would go by categories. I'm gonna talk about this for forever and I can't, I'm sorry, but it would go by category. And so they would call over the loudspeaker like, okay, long-haired kittens over to show booth 3. And so every cat has a number, and the owners would carry them through, excuse me, cat coming through, and put them in their little cage with their number. And then the judge has in the center of all those little cages has a table under like a spotlight with a bunch of feathers and stuff on the table, and they would go one by one and bring the cats out by their number and place them on the table. And then they would like, you know, they're like pulling their tail out to see how long it is and like feeling their, I don't know, balls probably on some of them.
Yeah, because they do that at dog shows too. They like,
yeah.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. But like, they're testing to make sure, like, is this cat, like, does it, they like mess with their little faces. It's like, is this cat what it should be for the breed? And then the final step is, okay, can the cat follow a feather? That's like, they're supposed to be able to follow a feather. I think honestly, like, follow a feather correctly, like follow it but not go crazy for it. I think I started to zero in on like the ones that really went crazy for the feather weren't winning.
Uh-huh, not doing as well.
But the ones that ignored it also weren't winning.
The ones that ignored it didn't do well. But the ones that sort of just like looked at it and were like, I see it, but I've got discipline.
But controlling myself.
So they would do that one by one, and then they would pick winners, and people were just coming through back and forth, taking their cats out, putting their cats back in. Oh my god, there were some kitten categories. My favorite is there's a household pets category, which is basically for like all the ones that aren't quite good enough to be
normies.
All the normies. And because there's one, Remy, who we met, was a big, beautiful Persian, and he used to be a show cat, but then he got cancer and he lost an eye. He's fine, he's a survivor, but now he can't compete in the regular category because he's like defunct, and so now he's a household pet. Oh my God. It was, I mean, we'll continue to talk about it at length off the pod, but it was one of the best days of my life.
Someone sent me a link to, there is a documentary called Catwalk Tales from the Cat Show Circuit.
Oh, fuck yes.
That I will definitely be watching.
I might watch that tonight. That might be my activity because I can't stop thinking about it. I can't get enough.
And I feel like the scariest thing for me about the cat show was that it was such a huge surge of dopamine. That afterwards, crazy. I think like the most tired I've ever been in my life.
Oh my God. We were only there for like 2 hours, which is maybe an insane amount of time to be at a cat show. But yes, on the drive back, the three of us were like, I'm so tired.
I got completely drained every ounce of energy from me because I was just absolutely on cloud nine for like at the highest 10 out of 10 excitement level for a full 2 hours.
It was like a drug come down.
But then did it feel good though afterwards? That's like the best kind of come down, you know, is because you've just had like a pure adrenaline rush.
It felt pretty good. I came home, I took a shower, I drank some seltzer water, and I was really just had a bit of a cat show glow, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy.
Can you imagine any of your cats going to a cat show?
We kept talking about that.
Were you thinking about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would perform terribly. Because these cats are also so chill.
Well behaved.
Such good boys and good girls.
So well behaved. Our cats would be freaking out. Such good boys and girls. Excellent boys and girls. Oh my God. It was incredible. It was incredible. And I will be going again. There's one in Santa Monica in a few weeks. And I think it's pretty soon. And I will be going. So I guess that's scary that this is my new, I'm just leaning in really hard to one aspect of my personality.
Oh my God. I think we have to.
I don't think we really have a choice.
For that dopamine surge?
Yeah.
Excuse I'll be me. Chasing that for the rest of my life.
Doesn't get better.
But, okay, today's movie, I want to get into it because I have a lot of thoughts about it. So, in honor of the love of my life, Keanu Reeves' birthday in a few days.
Mm. Oh, wow. Mm.
Huge.
A Virgo.
Yeah, he's a Virgo. We will be recapping Knock Knock, the 2015 film written and directed by Eli Roth.
I didn't even know this movie existed until you decided to
do it. I knew it existed, but I did not know it was Eli Roth. And that, well, I guess we'll just wait and see.
Yeah.
Also written by Nicholas Lopez and Guillermo Amedo, based on a story by Anthony Overman and Michael Ronald Ross, or story by them, not based on a story by them. Starring Keanu Reeves, Lorenza Izzo, and Ana de Armas in her first English language film.
Wow.
Okay.
And it is available on Hulu. And I had never seen it, and I don't know why, it just really popped into my head that I all of a sudden really wanted to watch it.
That makes sense. I'm shocked you haven't seen it before. It sounds like a perfect film.
Well, it's interesting because I don't love anybody more than Keanu Reeves, and I don't hate anybody more than Eli Roth.
Exactly. Real interesting. A true battle. Who will win? Who will win? In this head-to-head.
How do you feel about Ana de Armas?
I feel okay about her.
Neutral?
Neutral. Yeah. I don't love her. I don't hate her.
Okay. I like her, I think. I've only ever seen her in, what's that movie called? Knives Out.
Yep.
And obviously in her tabloid photos with Ben Affleck.
Sure.
I saw a bunch of those. Probably everyone there was. And I liked her in those.
She was good in those. I thought she did really well in those paparazzi photos.
Did anybody see the movie with her and Ben Affleck? Dark Waters or whatever?
No. Deep Water? No. Dark Water?
Something like that.
Isn't it supposed to be a sexy psychological thriller?
I kind of want to watch it too. I mean, I've heard it's just so, so bad.
I've heard it's insanely bad, but I would watch it for sure.
I don't know how I feel about her acting yet. I feel like everything I've seen her in, she hasn't had to act much. This is mean.
Yes. Interesting. But she's going to really have to act in Blonde, so.
That's going to be tricky. Yeah, the trailer I have feelings about Blonde as well. I just feel like her accent is still on Adarmit. She sounds exactly the same in it, playing Marilyn Monroe, and it's just kind of crazy to me. Like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to look past that.
I read some stuff about that choice. It's either a choice or it's a, well, she can't do an accent, so let's make it a choice. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another classic chicken and egg.
We'll see. I'm going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel, well, the whole point, I think, is also that Marilyn was a character, right?
Yeah.
That was not. So I think that's part of the reason, like, letting her be Anna a little bit. But
yeah,
I don't actually know. Wow. Okay.
And let's remember also that Lorenza Izzo.
I was going to say, she looks very familiar to me.
Eli Roth's wife at the time. They are since divorced.
At the time. And she was also in The Green Inferno.
Yes.
And he really treated her like shit, right?
Yeah, I can't totally remember all the Green Inferno, but yes, I mean, I think because it was filmed in...
The conditions were terrible, remember? Didn't they like put her in a barrel and make her be in the water?
I think she did almost drown, yes. There's a scene in which she's in a river, and I think she almost drowned.
Didn't they put her in a barrel and leave her
there? Put her in a barrel and throw in a river?
Or maybe that was Marilyn Monroe. One of them did that.
Oh God. Eli Roth is the worst. He put a woman in a barrel and then threw her. It's fact now.
This is like... Who did I say was bad? Oh, Michael Hall Jr. or whatever. I told you that Michael he's Hall like a Jr. domestic abuser. It's not.
Michael C. Hall.
Michael
Hall Jr. is pretty funny, though.
I really love our dedication to never confirming a single piece of information.
And being wrong 100% of the time.
Okay, wow.
Knock Knock has a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 53 on Metacritic. One of the rare instances when it's higher Metacritic.
That's significantly higher.
And it's because it's aggregate. Rotten Tomatoes is aggregate, right? I'm not going to be able to explain this properly, but I think, yeah, a very bad movie will have a higher score on Metacritic. Because it's like everyone agrees it's bad. So that's a lower Rotten Tomatoes score. We're all in agreement that it's bad. And Metacritic is how bad is it? And so it's ranking it like it's about a 53.
I've never understood how it works. Okay. Yeah. So 63% of people said this movie was bad, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, good fast math. I was like,
thank you.
So fast.
Yes, correct. Okay. And it has a 4.9 on IMDb.
Okay.
Budget, $10 million. It made $6 million.
Okay. God, I love Keanu. You've got Keanu on your background right now, and he's just staring right at me, and it really is. I keep looking into his eyes. I'm not even doing it on purpose. It's just catching me, you know?
Well, it's such a funny picture because Lorenzo and Ana de Armas are like have their hands all over him and are leaning into him. They're like, ooh. And he looks like he just woke up from a nap and is confused about where he is.
Which is kind of, I feel like maybe it's character choice, you know?
God.
Fits with the film. I'm just absolutely shocked and a little bit delighted that Keanu Reeves agreed to be in this movie. It's such a crazy choice for him.
It's so random.
This movie premiered at Sundance.
Whoa.
Okay.
And it is a remake of the film Death Game, that a 1977 film. And that's basically all the trivia I have about it. There's a few more things that I'll sprinkle in as recap. And also the trailer, it's a really simple movie. All takes place basically in one location.
Damn, and they still use $10 million?
It's all above the line.
Yeah, hopefully Keanu got it all.
Keanu got it all.
Probably Eli and Keanu took up most of that.
But we know Keanu. He would have split it up evenly between everybody.
He absolutely would have. And I bet that he did.
Anybody donated everything. The whole salary, 100% of his salary was donated.
He's the exact opposite of Eli Roth. He would never put a woman in a barrel.
His wife in a barrel.
He would never put his wife in a river barrel.
But so the trailer shows a little too much for my liking. So
okay.
I think we should just get.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code TOOSCARY for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code TOOSCARY so they know I sent you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Into this recap.
Love that choice.
Oh my God. Let's get into it. I can't wait.
Okay. So we start in Los Angeles. We're somewhere a little farther out into the valley or the hills, somewhere like shows a camera like going further and further into a somewhat more remote, very rich looking area. We see a big fancy house at the top of a hill.
Calabasas.
Yeah. Something like that. And go into this house and we're going down the hallways and we see a million family photos all over the walls. And they're like the photo shoot for these photos, I think, must have been very funny. It's Keanu Reeves is Evan. His wife is named Karen and they have two children, a son and a daughter. And they just have, you know, those like family professional shoot family photos,
white t-shirts on the beach sort of situation.
Like all over every wall, like they must have done so many of these shoots.
Oh, that's
in
so
preparation
funny.
For this film.
And like different do they like have different ages of the kids?
No, not really.
Oh, great.
Not really.
Hey, I mean, they gave $9.5 million to Keanu. They had 500,000 left to cast. Yeah.
No, I think
actors.
They probably did all these photo shoots on one day and just changed
God,
outfits.
That's funny.
We go into Evan and Karen's bedroom and they are fooling around, about to have sex. Flirting. She says like you should get a haircut. He has kind of a shaggier hair. It looks great on him. He doesn't need a haircut.
Shut up, Karen.
And Karen is not one of the two. She's not Lorenzo or Ana de Armas.
No.
Karen is some other actress. Okay.
She was also in Green Inferno though. This actress. I didn't write down her name. Sorry.
I mean, man, they must not have hated it that much.
Yeah, seriously. They came back.
Well, I mean, I guess Lorenzo's married to him at the time, but
Lorenza.
Lorenza, sorry, Lorenza.
Lorenzo, what did I say?
Lorenzo.
I was saying Lorenzo.
Oh, Lorenzo. Okay, yes. Okay, so they're fooling around. She's wrong about his hair.
Yeah, she's wrong about his hair. They're being playful. Like, it's clear that they have a nice relationship and they're about to do it. And the kids barge in with a cake and a gift saying, "Happy Father's Day."
Father's Day cake. That's interesting.
Yeah, no one celebrates Father's Day. Already this movie's unrealistic.
They quickly, you know, turn their attention to the kids. Evan unwraps the gift and he has this little bit that he does with the kids where he calls himself Monster and he's like, "Ooh, Monster, happy. Monster loves this gift." And it's so cheesy and dumb. But he opens his gift and it's a alarm clock that they have put pictures of themselves into, like on each of the numbers, basically. And just the kids are, kids' faces are in this alarm clock.
All right.
After he opens the gift, he chases them out of the room. "Monster's going to get you." Mm-hmm. "Time, like, you need to get dressed or Monster's going to get you." Chases them out. He goes back into the room with Karen. They kiss a little bit again. And he says, "Monster's sad that we didn't get to finish what we started."
Oh my God. Yeah.
Don't use the kid name that you that's not going to make me horny.
It's the writing is real
exquisite,
really, really good in this movie. Yeah.
Wow.
We get the impression that Karen is under a lot of stress. She says, you know, with the kids and the art exhibition coming up, like, "I've been under a lot of pressure. I can't keep everybody happy." And he's like, "Oh, I don't want to start a fight." I'm like, it's fine. At some point he says they haven't had sex in like 3 weeks. And she's like, as soon as I get back, we're going to finish this. Don't worry. And they kiss and they go out to the dining room with their kids, or they're all having breakfast. They have a very cute French bulldog named Monkey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a cute name for a dog, Monkey.
And as they're eating, Karen's assistant or something comes over. His name's Lewis. He works with her, something to do with her art. He's like in charge of making sure everything like gets delivered to the exhibition. And he's clearly like good friends with the family. They've probably worked together for a long time. He feels very at home there as well. And he is joking with Evan about something, like helping him to carry one of Karen's sculptures in. And he says, "Oh, you know, I can't, like, all I can lift is this coffee mug." And we learn that he has just had some shoulder injury that he had to get surgery for. Karen and the kids are going on a trip to the beach this weekend that they had planned ahead of time. And then Evan got too much work built up, so he can't go. And so Evan and Lewis, they're staying home. Well, Evan is staying home.
Okay.
To do some work. We learn that he is an architect.
Classic movie character job.
Yep.
Architect.
Everybody's a fucking writer, gallery owner, or architect.
Mm-hmm. Artist.
Working at a magazine.
Yep. And so they're heading out for the weekend. Karen gets the kids into the car. Evan is saying goodbye to them and saying, you know, "Daddy has to work." And they, again, the kids tell him, "Dad, get a haircut." Which is, it's just a very weird, I'll tell you, it's a foreshadowing type thing, but it's like a meaningless foreshadowing thing that like has really not, I don't know, it's just a very silly thing. Anyways, so they leave after yelling at him to get a haircut one more time, and he is home alone for the weekend, for Father's Day weekend.
Alone on Father's Day. Tragic.
Does that feel more realistic? I feel like maybe that's the reverence that people give the Father's Day holiday.
Yeah. Alone.
So that night he's working on his architecture work, looking at his plans
and stuff.
3D models.
There's the door.
3D printing.
Maybe the door goes over here. No, maybe here. Maybe here. That's what an architect usually does.
It's all,
I think,
about the deciding where the doors go. Yeah. It's important.
Wait, the very first episode of the rehearsal when Nathan walks in and goes, "Oh, Door City over here. Door Central.
Door City over here."
Oh my God. Really made me laugh. Okay, so he's sitting there and he hears a knock knock at the door. It's the nighttime now, middle of the night. It's rainy, stormy, lightning outside. He opens the door and there are two girls soaking wet in very revealing clothing. This is Anadarmus and Lorenza Izzo. And they explain that they're lost. They were trying to go to a party. The street's really dark. They have been like knocking on doors. Seems like not many people are home. Maybe a lot of people are out of town for the weekend. And she says, like, do you know where the Gregories live or some name? And he's like, no, I don't think so. And they're like, shit, both of our phones are dead. And I don't know, like, where we're going. And he quickly says, do you guys want to come in? You can use my phone. And they say, oh, like, thank you so much. That would be great. Like, if we could use your computer, we can find out on Facebook where the party is. And so he lets them in.
Uh-oh.
He brings them towels to dry off. We know that they're both like incredibly hot. Mm. That's important. They're just like the most beautiful women,
super hot
in the world. And they are drying off. They're looking on the computer for the address. And one of them says, oh shit, like we put in the wrong street name. We were trying to go to, this is Cantor. We were trying to go to Cantner. So we're way far from where the party is. And they're like, oh my God, we're such idiots. Evan is seeming really like, he's like a very nice guy, very helpful. And he's like, I can call you guys an Uber if you need. And they're like, oh, we don't want to put you out. We don't want to put you out. They're acting like really, like they're very sorry about all of this and really embarrassed. And he's like, it's not a big deal. You're not going to, they're like, we'll just go outside and get a cab, hail a cab. And he's like, there's not going to be a cab around here. Like, let me call you a car. It's fine. Anadarmus's character introduces herself, says her name's Belle. She says, like, thank you so much, Evan. I'm Belle. Like, you're such a lifesaver. You're really, really saving us. Not a lot of people would let two strangers into their house in the middle of the night. And he says, well, you guys, you know, you don't look that dangerous. And worst case scenario, I'm pretty sure I could take both of you, which is a very funny thing to say.
If they're not like in the version of this movie where they are actually just regular ladies, if he said worst case scenario, I could take both of you, be like, OK, bye.
We're getting out of here
you
now.
You just became very scary.
Yes, exactly. So he calls them a car. It's 45 minutes away. And they ask him, they're like, sorry, this is going to sound crazy. You can totally say no, but is there any way we could throw our clothes in the dryer so that we don't show up at this party soaking wet, because they're completely wet? And he's like, yeah, you know what? That's fine. Totally. Like, we have some extra robes. I'll get them for you. So they get out of their clothes and into some robes.
This is feeling like, this isn't the same at all, but it's feeling like Funny Games. Just like the way that they've entered the house.
Think it's not dissimilar.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof, 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 oof. I don't like it.
Like, anytime where a bad person is like playing out a scenario, it's like they're like, they're putting on a little performance and they're really having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other person is trusting. So trusting.
So trusting. We also know that he's horny, you know? He hasn't.
He hasn't had sex in three weeks.
The man cut him some slack. How can a man live
3 whole weeks?
He's basically dead.
Oh my God. So he gets him some robes. He takes their phones and puts them in rice. Is like, I have like a little trick. This happened to my son's phone. Maybe I can fix this for you, because they said their phones are like wet or whatever.
I have a little trick. It's the thing everyone knows.
My secret.
No one's ever heard of it.
And he makes them cups of tea. And as he's in the kitchen making them tea, he hears music turn on and he comes back out with the tea, and they have found his turntables.
Okay.
And record collection. And they're admiring it, saying, oh my God, you have such good taste in music. This record collection must be worth a fortune. And he tells them that he used to be a DJ in his 20s.
Stop it. That's so funny. That's so funny.
DJ turned architect.
This is why he took the job. He was
an
absolutely
classic career progression.
This is pretty cool.
The DJ to architect pipeline.
He says, you know, I just love the sound of vinyl. He's like, but that was a long time ago. That was in my 20s. And they act so shocked. They're like, you're not in your 20s right now. Like, how old are you? And he's
I'm
like,
I'm sorry to look at him and say, you're not in your 20s. Of course he's not in his 20s.
No, they're like absolutely lying. They're fucking with him. But yeah, he's definitely not. He's 43 and he was actually 47 or no, 49 while filming, I think. And he says, yeah, that was a long time ago. And then, you know, I got married and needed something a little more stable and had kids. And they're like, you're married with kids and you're all alone on Father's Day weekend. And they go and they both give him big hugs. Okay. And they're like, oh, Evan, all alone. And Lorenza introduces herself at some point. Her name is Genesis.
Whoa.
And Genesis feels his muscles as she's hugging him and says, oh, well, you may be in your 40s, but you like you keep a strict workout regimen, it seems. You have great arms. And he keeps moving seats away from them, like he'll keep repositioning himself to try to get some distance between them. Like he kind of laughs uncomfortably. He's like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I do try to work out, but. And then like crosses the room to the other couch and they just kind of keep following him and trying to be closer to him. Then they start talking about how they like older guys anyways, like young guys are the worst. And I'd take a man who like knows what he's doing than like a young Abercrombie model any day. It's clearly making Evan uncomfortable or maybe horny or maybe uncomfortable that he's horny. And he's trying to say like, well, you know, hopefully one day you guys will find someone great. And they find a photo of his wife on the table or something and says, oh, my God, your wife is so pretty. And he tells her she tells them she's an artist. Karen's an artist. She actually made basically all of the art in this house. And they're looking around at various little sculptures being like, wow, she's so talented, an artist and an architect. Like you guys are such like the perfect couple. You must have sex all day long. That's what I would do. Okay. If I was your wife, I would just want to constantly have sex.
Okay. Okay.
And he swallows and is like, I'm sorry. I'm just not used to hearing girls be so open about that. And they say, about what, Evan? About sex? And he says, yeah. And they say, why? It's just sex. Like, that's, who cares? It's a natural part of life. And again, they're giggling. He's changing seats to the other side of the room once more, and they're following him. He's looking at his phone. How far away is this Uber? 20 minutes away now. They ask him, so you haven't been with anyone else in that whole time since you've been with your wife? How long is that? And he says, 14 years. We've been together 14 years. And they're both like, that's crazy. You've had sex with only one person the past 14 years. And he says, yeah, well, when you love someone, and they're like, oh, Evan, come on. Like, humans are the only species that practice monogamy. It's not natural. Like being with one person is going against your own nature. And Belle says, that's why when I find a husband or find someone I want to marry, like I'm going to insist that we have threesomes all the time. I feel like that's the only way that they'd never cheat on me is if I make sure that to like be in on it all the time. Evan is clearly like he's sweating now. He's like, it's like, oh God.
Oh my God.
And then he's like, so what do you guys do for work? What do you guys do for work?
Keanu. And
they're like, oh, we're flight attendants. It's so fun. We get to travel the world. We were just in New Zealand for 24 hours partying there. And they're talking about how their escapades that they have as flight attendants, basically. They say it's so fun, except for starfish. And Evan looks confused, like, starfish, what's that? And they're like, ugh, it's our coworker who, like, thinks she doesn't have to put any effort into sex. She just lays there like a starfish. And who would want to have sex with that?
What? You know how you hate when your coworkers aren't good at sex? I hate that.
And you know how you always describe what kind of sex you have to your coworkers so that...
And you describe it as, I just lay there.
I just lay there like a starfish.
Oh, me? Always. Sex? I just lay there.
And Belle turns to Evan and says, when I'm with a guy, I want him to have the time of his life. There are no rules. Nothing's off limits. And Genesis says, sex with rules isn't really sex. If our bodies can do it, it means they were meant to do it.
What?
He's checking the phone. Where's this fucking Uber? 5 minutes away now. He says, okay, it's 5 minutes away. You guys should probably start getting dressed again, getting ready. And Jenna says, oh, okay, can I use your bathroom? And he says, yes. So Genesis goes off to the bathroom, leaving Belle in the room with Evan. And she goes up to his records again, is thumbing through them, finds one that is Spanish and asks him to put it on. And she's like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. I've never heard this artist before. And she's really dancing, really feeling herself, up the robe a little bit.
Oh boy.
And he's watching her. It's clear that he's
a little suspicious.
No. Well, I mean, maybe a little bit, but he also like thinks Belle especially is like very hot. It's like clear that he knows she's incredibly hot.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily, weren't you saying that Keanu and Ana de Armas were hooking up at this time?
I feel like I heard this, but I don't.
Rumor.
I didn't. Obviously, I didn't do any research or fact check, but I feel like I heard this.
Well, there is more, I'd say, like a sexual vibe between them two versus.
Well, I mean, he didn't want to be too sexual in front of Eli and Eli's wife, you know?
Yes.
He had to respect Eli.
Yeah, it's true. But he's watching her dance and he gets kind of swept away in the moment as well and goes over to the turntables and puts on another record and starts like mixing, doing like DJ shit and like beat matching with another record.
Stop it.
He's got his headphones on, his big like Beats by Dre headphones.
That's like the cringiest thing I think I've ever heard in my whole life. That's cringier than the monster stuff.
And he starts feeling the music and as soon as he starts, she like turns around like, wow, how did you know how to do that? How did you know those two records would sound good together? And he says, DJing is like mixing a drink. First you find the right ingredients, then you blend them together.
Stop it. That's amazing.
Belle is getting a little closer to him now and saying, I have a confession to make. I'm glad that we knocked on your door, Evan. I'm having a way better time here than I would at that stupid party we're supposed to go to. And she's getting really close to him and it looks like he's not hating it. And their faces get closer and it looks like they're about to kiss. And then his phone rings and the Uber has arrived. So he takes a step back, says, okay, I'll go get your clothes. Time to get dressed. Uber's here. And she says, okay, I'll go get Genesis in the bathroom. So he goes to the dryer, gets their clothes out. It starts taking them to the bathroom where he just hears them giggling behind the closed door, knocks, girls, I have your clothes. They're dry. They don't answer. They're giggling. He's like, okay, I'm coming in. I'm covering my eyes, but I'm bringing your clothes in. The shower is running and he opens the door and they say, surprise. And he looks and they're both naked in the shower.
Yep.
Fully naked. And he's like, okay, you guys need to get dressed. The Uber's here. And they're like now just not hiding at all, very straightforward, trying to get him to have sex with them. Whoa. They're kissing him, touching him, trying to unbutton his shirt. He's trying to push them off. This is very much looking not consensual. Mm. And that he's saying, I can't do this. I'm married. He's like trying to push them away. They're just like coming on stronger. And they start going down on him, and he like switch it. He like stops fighting them, which, you know, yeah, it's uncomfortable. They're both going down on him at the same time, which is interesting.
He they've gotten his clothes off.
I guess just his pants. Okay. I think he still has his shirt on.
Oh, my God.
Things are coming off. Yeah, they are mm-hmm. aggressive about it. And mm-hmm. yeah, he looks down just like the back of both of their heads are at his dick. And I'm just like, what is the...
How is that working?
What's happening here?
Are they taking turns?
I guess. Must be taking
turns.
Just yeah, the mechanics of it are a little mysterious.
Yeah, like the size of a human head in the area they're trying to be is a little too not quite enough to go around, you know.
He starts going with it, and they say, two girls ever done this to you, Evan? And he says, no. And they say, Happy Father's Day.
Oh, my God. If this ever happens to you, you know you're about to be murdered. So just remember.
Yeah, just remember. Just this remember. Is not a realistic scenario.
Yeah.
Even if you're Keanu.
Yeah. And we see outside the Uber calling and leaving.
Oh, no.
We just see this scene of like quick cuts of them pressing against the glass wall of the shower, like boobs pressing up against it. But and like all this moaning and like shots of them making out heavily. And just it's a pretty intense looking threesome. And then it cuts to the next morning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Evan wakes up alone in his bed.
Oh, no.
Clearly feeling shame, a lot of shame.
Uh-huh.
He puts his wedding ring back on.
Oh,
he'd taken it off.
Yikes.
I think maybe just in the night. I don't know. I didn't notice when he took it off. But he has a bunch of text messages from Karen saying, like, are you awake yet? What's up? Like, where are you? Can you FaceTime me when you wake up? And he texts her, yeah, I'll FaceTime you in a minute. Just woke up. And he's looking around the house, doesn't see the girls, assumes they're gone. And then hears some more giggling coming from the kitchen, opens the door to the kitchen. And they have turned into the monkeys from Jumanji.
Wait, what?
There's food absolutely everywhere. The kitchen is trashed. They're making pancakes. There's pancake batter on the walls. There's banana peels on the walls. Eggs like smashed what? All over. Like, it's crazy the amount of mess they have made this morning. There's like pancake batter on their faces. They look crazed. They're sitting like almost like they're little animals now. They're like not sitting normally at the chair. They're like, God. Good morning, Evan.
Oh, my God.
And he's pretty freaked out, like, I need to take you guys home now. And Genesis says, home? I haven't been home in 4 years, Evan. Like, I'm not going home.
Oh, my God.
And he's
God.
Like,
oh,
well, whatever. I mean, like, I'll take you wherever you want to go. And they're like, how about Paris? What about Tokyo? Like, Evan, why don't you take us to Rome? And they're just really ramping this up. He's starting to get mad. And then he gets the FaceTime call from his wife, and he runs outside to take it, answers it, and she's just checking in, saying, like, kids, say hi to dad. And as he's talking to them, behind him, the house, because it's a fancy rich person's house, all of the walls are glass.
Of course.
And
boy.
The girls run up, Genesis and Belle run up. They're in their, still in their robes, and they just like take off the robes. They're pressing their boobs against the glass. They press their butts against the glass, and then they start miming like they're doing it doggy style behind him. It's really funny. I really did laugh.
And is this on the FaceTime video, or he's seeing them do it? He turned around.
He notices them first and like turns around so that it's to him instead of the wife. But clearly, like, they don't care if she saw it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is stressing me out so much now. This is so stressful. Now this movie's just become so stressful.
This is the point at which I was like, okay, is Eli Roth actually pretty funny? Like, I feel like this is pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
How far into the movie are we, would you say?
This is like close to halfway.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm stressed.
So he is very distracted, obviously, on the phone with his wife. She's like, you seem pretty distracted. Why don't you call me back later? Like a little annoyed. He's like, no, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, it's it, but I will call you back later. Like, I love you so much. I'm so sorry that I'm distracted. You guys have fun. Gets off the phone, goes back in, is like, okay, you guys need to get the fuck out. He's like pissed now. Like, they lay down on the couch and they're like, oh, Evan, like, who's this Evan? This is a mean Evan. And where's Evan from last night? We liked that Evan. And he's like, you guys need to get dressed and get the fuck out. And they go into, they like are like, fine, Evan, we will. And they go into the other rooms and are gone for a little while. And he goes to find them and he finds Genesis first and she's dressed. And he's like, where's Belle? She's like, I don't know. And he's looking around for her and he finds her in his closet, dressed in all of his clothes.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, you just said get dressed. You didn't say what? Like, oh, so in annoying. What? I'm getting dressed. And she's at this point now calling him daddy and telling him that she loves him. And she's like, she wraps her arms and legs around him. She's like, I love you, daddy. Te amo, papa.
Te amo, papa. Te amo, papa.
I don't know. She's really over the top, like kissing him, like, oh, daddy, I love you. And
daddy.
And he's trying to push her off and it's like, come on, like, I've got to take you guys home. Tell me where to take you. And he's like, you have 3 minutes. I'll meet you outside and we're leaving. And he goes outside, waits. They don't come out, yeah, obviously. Duh. Goes back inside and finds them. His wife has made this really big sculpture that is like her main centerpiece for the exhibition that is coming up.
Oh, God.
They have covered it in dick drawings. They just drew dicks all over it in Sharpie.
Oh my God.
Obviously furious. They're just laughing and laughing and laughing. And he says, okay, that's it. I'm calling the police. He gets his cell phone out. And Genesis says, yeah, go ahead, call him. I've got a funny story for them. And he says, what do you mean? And she says, oh, it's called To Catch a Predator. Like, Belle's 15 years old.
No, but she's not. Do you think she is?
No, I mean, she's definitely not. But he's like obviously alarmed by this information.
Yeah.
He hangs up regardless to get some more. He's like, what are you talking about? You told me you were flight attendants. And they're laughing in his face like, yeah, we told you that. Like, we're not. We're in high school.
Oh, God.
And he's like, okay, well, what do you guys want? What do you want? Do you want money? What do you want from me? Why are you doing this? And they say, we want to make you breakfast every morning for the rest of your life, Evan.
Oh, okay. This is horrible. I hate this. I hate this so much.
And then the doorbell rings and his physical therapist is there. He has physical therapy for his shoulder. It's this woman, I think Vivian is her name. And this actress is one of the main girls from the original version of this movie, which is fun.
Oh, that is fun.
Death Wish. Was that what it was called?
Death Game?
Yeah, Death Wish.
Death Game.
Oh, Death Game.
So she's there and she's saying like, okay, time for your therapy. He's like, oh, no, you know, not today. It's okay. You don't have to come in today. I'm feeling so much better. Don't have to come in. Genesis walks out, puts her arms around him, kisses him on the neck, says, who's this, baby?
Oh, Jesus.
And Vivian's obviously like very disgusted by this, like gives him this really dirty look. Like, I can't believe you, Evan. This is horrifying. Storms off. He's like, Vivian, it's not what it looks like. And she leaves. He goes back inside. Belle is blasting records now, dancing around, and they're just having a fucking party in his house. He's like screaming at them to get out.
This is so awful.
And Genesis is yelling at him like, isn't this so funny, Evan? Like, in just one night, like, you ruined your whole life. Like, if you call the police, like, you're going to have to tell all of your neighbors that you're a pedophile. You're going to have to knock door to door announcing that you're a pedophile and screaming in his face and really getting him, obviously, really worked up. And he grabs her by the throat and, like, pins her against the wall. And she looks impressed by this. She, like, smiles at him like, oh, Evan, I didn't think you had this in you. Like, you seemed like such a nice guy. I didn't think that you had this side to you. He very quickly like lets her go and is ashamed of his own behavior. And is like, I am a good guy and lets her go.
Oh God.
And he decides he's going to call 911 anyways. Calls 911. He says, I'd like to report a break-in, a burglary or whatever. And Genesis hangs up the phone and like looks at him like, okay, the jig is up. And he's like, all right, can you give us a ride home? Like, we'll leave. We'll get out. And he's like, yes, let's go. They get in the car. They tell him where to go. And he drops him off. And they do not go into the place that they directed him to. Clearly, they don't live there. And there's a shot of them after he drops them off, just like walking down the street. And this shot is very clearly not Lorenza Izzo and Ana de Armas to a point that really? Just really made me laugh. Like, it was just a pickup shot where it's just two women in wigs.
That's really funny. That's really funny. They'll never notice. No one will ever notice.
Eli Roth and somebody else in the same outfits.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it, and it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them, and now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
My mom has had a pretty wild life, a lot of interesting stuff. She was in a couple popular bands in South Africa in the 80s. She's traveled all around the world, and she is so full of stories that I'm still finding out new things about her. So this Mother's Day, I know just what to get her. It's called Storyworth, and Storyworth helps you preserve those memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a question. You can help choose the questions if you'd like. Some that I've asked my mom are, what was your first boss like? What were your favorite toys as a child? And all they need to do is respond to the email with a story. It can be long or short. They can even include pictures if they want. Sky's the limit. So you can enjoy their retelling of your favorite stories and new stories you've never heard before. After a year, Storyworth compiles all their stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I love this. I love having these kinds of physical items, whether it's a journal or a photo book. I know we can have all this stuff on our phones now or the computer, but it's just not the same. Having something actually tangible is just the best. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/TooScary. That's StoryWorth.com/TooScary to save $10 on your first purchase.
That's true.
We see a montage of Evan now cleaning the house and taking alcohol and scrubbing the sculpture to try to get the little dicks off of it. It's working a little bit, but it's, you know, going slow.
Oh my
God. And over the course of the day, he does get the house into pretty, it looks pretty good. Because remember, they'd really trashed that kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like things are mostly back to normal. And then that night, he's working. He's back at his office.
Oh God.
Working on his 3D plans. 3D plans.
The doors.
He's choosing where to put the doors. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that. And he hears something in the house.
Oh God.
Hears a little crash.
Oh my God.
And walks out into the living room and just sees one of his family photos knocked onto the floor with the glass broken. He bends down to pick it up. And we see behind him Genesis with a vase or like something heavy, knocks him in the head with it, knocks him out, cuts to black.
Oh my God.
Woo!
Here we go.
I hate this.
And Evan is now tied to the bed in his bedroom like a starfish.
Okay.
Genesis is putting on his wife's makeup at her vanity, and in walks Belle saying, "Do you like my outfit?" And she is wearing his daughter's school uniform.
Ew.
And he screams at her, "Take that off. That's my daughter's." And she says, "I know, daddy. Like, don't you like the way it looks on me?"
Oh my God, she lifts up the skirt
and is wearing little pink unicorn underwears. And like, he's so furious at this. He says, "Take those off. Like, you're disgusting." And she says, "Okay." And like really slowly takes off the underwear and then sits on top of him and says, "You know, every girl's first love is their daddy."
Ew.
And he says, if you love me, if you really love me, please untie me." And Genesis says, "Ignore that asshole." And Belle says, "He's not an asshole. He's my daddy."
Oh, so you were starting to think that maybe she kind of actually like is weirdly thinking this too, kind of like, is she? I don't know.
It seems that they're both unwell. They're both very much unwell. And so they're enjoying themselves.
She knows she's torturing him, but she's just got a different sort of.
Yeah, different vibe about it. Different.
And is also unwell.
Yeah. And there's a pretty, I'd say, upsetting moment here where she's
more upsetting,
where she's on top of him and kissing him and saying, like, "Don't you want to fuck your little girl again? Like you did for years, daddy." And like at some point it switches and it seems like she's now talking to her actual dad. And then she starts crying and like slaps him and it says, like, "Why did you do that to me, daddy? Why did you do that to me?"
Oh,
and she's crying.
God.
And he looks like scared and also sympathetic, and he's like trying to calm her down, and he's like, it's okay, like, you're okay."
Oh Jesus.
And at that moment his phone rings and it's a FaceTime from his wife.
Oh Jesus Christ.
And they're like, let's answer it. And he's like, no, please, it could be my kids. It could be my kids calling. And they're like, "We'll answer it like this." And they start unzipping his pants so that it'll be him answering it just with his dick in the frame. And
God.
He says, "No, please, I'll do anything you want." And they throw the phone aside and they both start cheering. They're like, "Yay, he'll do whatever we want."
Oh, my God.
So what Belle wants is to have sex with him. So she, rapes him. That is. Yeah. And Genesis is filming it.
Oh my God.
And
this is so fucked up.
I hate this.
It's pretty horrifying.
Hey, guess what? Still hate Eli Roth.
Yeah, still hate him. Still hate him. Eli, this isn't redeeming whatsoever.
But during the sex, because of the motion of it, he's able to loosen whatever they've tied his wrists with, and he's eventually able to get free. Genesis, after filming them for a while, went off into the kitchen to go get a snack.
As you do.
So he gets his undoes his bindings and knocks Belle off, knocks her to the floor and runs out of the room, like gets free, runs out of the room, sees Genesis eating a piece of the cake and runs to her, tries to like knock her down. And as he grabs her, she takes the fork and stabs it into his shoulder where he has just had shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in excruciating pain, falls over backwards screaming, and she's twisting the fork around.
Ew!
And he passes out from the pain.
Damn.
Wakes up tied to a chair now in the living room.
Okay.
Genesis and Belle have changed. Genesis is wearing one of his suit tops and shirts, and Belle is wearing a fancy dress of Karen's, I presume, and they're pretending now that they're game show hosts, and they're saying, like, I can't remember what the game is called, something like To Catch a Predator, but they put his DJ headphones on his ears.
Oh, no.
They say, we're going to ask you questions, and if you get the answers wrong, you'll be punished.
Oh, God.
And he's screaming at them now, you're both crazy bitches. And as he screams at them, Genesis turns up feedback into the headphones really loud. And he's screaming and saying, I could go deaf. This is serious. I could go deaf.
It's all serious, dude. This is about as serious as it gets.
Yeah. And so they're like, all right, first question. Are you ready, Evan? How far away from school will you have to pick up your kids? Basically, when you're a registered pedophile. And he's like yelling at them, this isn't funny, untimey. And again, they do the feedback. And they're like, wrong answer, Evan. Then Genesis asks, or goes, this is an easy one. This is a pretty easy one. How many daddies have survived this game? And stares at him and she's like, I think you know the answer to this one. And he says, none. And they say, correct, Evan. Good job. And they like clap for him. And they're like, all right, next question.
Oh, my God.
What's the proper punishment for a pedophile? Prison, castration, or death? And he's staring at them. He's like on the verge of tears. He's like, please untie me.
I hate this so much.
And they're like, tick tock, Evan, you got to answer this question. And before he can answer, there is another knock at the door. And it's Lewis, Karen's assistant.
God.
And he is here to pick up the sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Covered in dick drawings.
Yeah, for the exhibition.
Oh my God.
They quickly shove his daughter's underwear into his mouth, Evan, so that he can't talk. And they get his phone from him and text Lewis, because I think they have a text. Lewis texted Evan and said, like, I'm outside. And they write back, I'm not home at the moment, but my niece is there with a friend. They can let you in. And so they pretend to be his niece and they answer the door saying, oh, you're Lewis. Like, Evan told us that you were here. Come on in. We're here shooting a music video. And he's like, oh, you picked a great location. Like, this is such a beautiful house. And they're laughing and they take him out to the sculpture, which is obviously still has dicks on it and like not. And he Lewis just like is immediately like, what the fuck is going on? What's this? And he starts almost like having a panic attack. Like he's really stressed, mostly just to see that the sculpture is ruined. This like piece of art that took so much work. And he pulls an inhaler out of his pocket and uses it and calms down a little bit. And he's like, what the fuck happened here? What's going on? And they start trying to seduce him. And they're saying, oh, please don't tell Karen, Lewis. Like, this could be our little secret. And he's like, not into it at all. He's like, get the fuck off of me.
He has been told that they're children also.
Right. Yeah. So he pushes him off. He runs into the house. He's like, where's Evan? And he finds Evan tied up.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
And rather than untying him, he's like, I'm going to go get, like, these bitches are crazy, and runs back out. And Evan's like saying, no, like, untie me. They're dangerous. They're dangerous. Don't go out there. And Lewis runs back out to them to try to, I don't know, confront them. And they now have hammers and they're bashing the breaking the statue apart. And he's like running towards them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like,
stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, and also as he ran in, we saw Genesis slip his inhaler out of his pocket. And so now he's running at them and they're beating the statue, breaking it. And he starts clearly having another asthma attack and fishing in his pockets. He can't find his inhaler. Genesis says, are you looking for this? Pulls it out of her pocket. He reaches it. She throws it to Belle. He goes to Belle. She throws it back to Genesis. They're doing that like schoolyard taunting, throwing it away from him. And at some point, during all this, also, Evan has like scooted his chair. He's been like slowly making his way. So now he's in the doorway watching this, yelling at them like, stop it, stop it. Like, give him his inhaler. He needs it. And as Lewis is running back and forth trying to get the inhaler, he trips and he smacks his head on the corner of a piece of cement at the base of the statue and is like immediately absolutely dead. Like in that way that it's just like blood coming out.
Holy
and he
shit.
Just is limp and lifeless. Belle and Genesis burst out laughing.
Oh my God.
Evan is horrified, like immediately starts crying and is like, you need to call an ambulance. You can do whatever you want to me. Lewis has nothing to do with this. He didn't do anything. This isn't his fault. And they're laughing and saying, he tripped. Of course it's his fault. We didn't touch him. He fucking tripped. Like, he should be more careful.
Oh, my God.
And they carry him back into, like, the center of the living room. And they're like, you stay here. We got to take care of Lewis. And they paper mache Lewis.
No!
What?
And paint him and make him, like, into a sculpture. And move him into the truck that Lewis came with to pick up the sculpture. And they like send a text message from his phone, making like acting like he's pissed at Evan, saying, I can't believe you slept with my wife or something to like cover their tracks a bit. It's kind of a loose cover up that I don't know would stand. I don't totally understand what their long term plan is here, but they do something to try to cover their tracks. And we see while they're taking care of this, Evan is in the living room and he's trying to knock his chair into a bookshelf where there's a vase at the top of it that he's eyeing. So it seems like there's something, probably a gun, in this vase that he wants to get. But before he can knock it over, they come back in and they're like, okay, back to the game show. If you'll remember, the question we were on was prison, castration, or death. What's the correct punishment for a pedophile?
Oh Jesus Christ.
And he again is like, please, you guys, this is gone way too far. You need to untie me. And they go, nope, sorry, Evan, the correct answer is death.
Oh no.
And he has an epic freak out.
Oh my God.
And I am actually going to play it for you right now.
Oh God.
No, we're watching a scene. We're watching a scene.
I gotta see it.
Death? Death? You're gonna kill me. You're gonna fucking kill me. Why? Why? Because I fucked you? You fucked me. You fucked me. You came to my house. You came to me. I got you a car. I brought you your clothes. You took a fucking bubble bath. You wanted it! You wanted it! You came out to me! What was I supposed to do? You sucked my cock! You both fucking sucked my cock! It was free pizza! Free fucking pizza! It just shows up at my fucking door! What am I supposed to do? We're flight attendants! Come on, fuck us! No one will know! Come on, fuck us! Oh, twosomes! Threesomes, it doesn't matter. Starfish, husbands, you don't give a fuck. You'll just fuck anything. Well, you lied to me. I'm trying to help you. I let you in. I was a good guy. I'm a good father. And you just fucking fucked me? What? Now you're gonna kill me? You're gonna kill me? Why? Why? You should fuck me? What the fuck? Fuck, fuck, This is fucking insane!
Oh my god! Whoa! Wait.
I felt like, yeah, we had to... You had to just see it. I wouldn't have been able to do it justice in a description, so...
That was unbelievable. Incredible. His hair was doing so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God he didn't get that haircut. Oh my God. I love him so much.
He's great. And apparently he filmed that scene twice. Like he did it a previous day and then like wasn't happy with it and was like, Eli, can we do that scene again? And then did that. And it's like, he did it pretty good.
You know, so rarely see Keanu
lose it.
Go there.
I know.
And it is really fucking cool to watch him play someone who has fully lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really delighted by that performance. So just thought I'd share it.
It's also, he makes some good points.
Some really good points.
Free fucking pizza. It was free pizza. You suck my cock. Pizza. You both suck my cock.
Pizza. Starfish.
You fucked me. Wow, that was so really
good.
Special.
Yeah, it's really good.
What is their reaction? What
you,
they
I mean, you can see they're just kind of watching him blank they're face. Like, they're like, God, he's really... It's almost like they're embarrassed for him. And after his freak out, they just say... All right, you're going to be executed at dawn. And they set the alarm clock. His kids got him next to him.
We knew that was going to be important.
And they go outside and they start digging a pit, digging a little grave.
Oh, my God.
They come back in. It's getting light out. And they say, let's face it, Evan, you're a monster. And like, you deserve this. You brought this upon yourself. And then they say, or should we say, you're a monster what? Man. And he looks really shocked, obviously. He's like, how do you know that? Why have you've been spying on me? Have you been spying on me and my kids? And they go back into a little Jumanji monkey mode. They're like trashing the house again. Now they go to one of Karen's sculptures and they start sawing the head off of it. It's like a human shaped sculpture. I don't think it's Lewis. I think it's a true honest to goodness sculpture. No human man inside of it. But they're sawing the head off of it and they're laughing and they're saying, this is gonna be you, Evan. This is gonna be you. Oh, and they're at a point they're screeching like dinosaurs, stomping on all his models of the town, going, like they're Godzilla, I guess. And then they go and get a bowl from the kitchen and put it on his head and they give him a bowl cut. They cut his hair. This is the foreshadowing, I suppose. Very important. Does indeed get a haircut.
Okay.
It's very strange foreshadowing. And they're fucking with him and being crazy. And in this, they knock over the bookshelf and the vase falls and crashes. And there is indeed a gun inside of it. Everyone freezes. They look at it, grab it, say, oh my God, you've been lying to us. If you had gotten this first, you would have killed us, wouldn't you, Evan? And they're pointing at him now. And he's, I don't know, at some point they play hide and seek with him. They're like, go hide. Now they feel like even more empowered. They have even more of the upper hand now that they have a gun. They make him hide in the house. He almost gets away, but they catch him. And then they tie him up again and put him in the grave and bury him with just his head out.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. God.
Okay.
And he's crying and begging them, please.
I hate this.
I'll do anything.
I hate this.
And they say, anything? Like, would you tell your wife and kids in full detail what happened last night? And he says, yes, I'll do anything. And they're like, okay, all right, Evan, let's give you a lifeline. And they take out a phone and they call Karen and put it to his ear. And it goes to voicemail. But he says on the voicemail, he says, Karen, I'm really sorry for what I'm about to tell you, but call the police. And they hang up. And I'm like, oh, that's a shame, Evan. Like, that was your life. That was your one lifeline. Like, we really thought maybe you'd do the right thing there. And he's like laughing at them, like, well, she's calling the police now. The police are going to be coming. And she says, I hung up the second it went to voicemail. I knew you were going to chicken out. So no, police are coming. And they say, knock, knock, Evan. And he won't answer. They bound his mouth, so he can't answer. He's like going, arr, 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 yelling at them. So they do it just between the two of them. Genesis says, knock, knock. Belle says, who's there? Cheating Evan. Cheating Evan who? Cheating eventually gets you killed. Pretty good. Knock, knock.
Pretty good. Knock, knock.
Really good. I'll remember that one.
I wonder when they came up with that one, and I bet they were really excited to use it.
I know, because I can imagine not everyone was named Evan.
Not everyone.
And Genesis grabs a big slab of granite and is raising it above her head like she's about to slam it down onto Evan's head. And she's like, all right, like, this is it, Evan. 3, 2, 1. He's screaming, screaming, screaming. She slams it down right next to his head. He starts sobbing, like, so upset, so scared. And they're laughing again, and they say, it's just a game. You think we're gonna kill you? Like, this is just a game, Evan. We're not gonna kill you. And with his like little thing in his mouth, he's going, a game.
Oh my god, I hate this. There's nothing I like about this.
They're looking at him and saying, you know, we thought you might be the one that would say no, but they never say no. No matter how much you love your families, no matter how much you love your wives, you're all the same. And they start walking away, and Belle says, you were my favorite, though. And wish me happy birthday, by the way. I turn 22 next week, but you made me feel 15 again.
Oh, my God.
And then they're like, oh, one more thing, your phone. And they go bring his phone back to him and says, you shouldn't leave your Facebook logged in. Anyone could post anything to your timeline. And they set it in front of him. They've posted the video of Belle that Genesis took of Belle on top of Evan and have posted it to his timeline. And it's getting, they like stick it in the dirt in front of him so that it's like all he can look at. And there's just comments pouring in being like, what is this? Is this a sick joke? Unfriended. You're disgusting.
Unfriended.
And he's going, oh, no. Oh, no. And they leave and they take his dog with them, which is just a real bummer. They've completely trashed his house. And he's like wiggling around in the dirt, and he's eventually able to get just his hand free, and he's reaching on the phone. There's like two buttons. It's either delete or like, which I don't think is how Facebook works. There's just like two big buttons, and he's reaching, but his hand is still like kind of trapped in the dirt, and he can't, and he accidentally likes it instead of deletes it, and then goes, ah!
That's okay. That's when Eli Roth is trying to be funny. That is him trying to be funny for sure.
Then the camera tracks through the house. We survey all the damage they've done. They've tagged on all of the family photos, on one of the daughter, daddy's little whore. They've drawn behind the wife a starfish. They've drawn on Evan, I'm the rape monster. Broken basically everything. Everything's knocked over, and it's just panning down the hallways until we get to the front door, and Karen and the kids arrive home.
Oh no.
And sunset, look, they just all look around in shock, and the son says, daddy had a party. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh my God. I hated that. I'm adding it to my list of things that I hated the most.
Yeah, I hated it.
I think, you know what's so funny? Each time there's a movie that you guys really hate, it always takes me by surprise because it's something that I actually like Funny Games and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Okay, but you knew we were going to hate Funny Games.
No.
Not as much as you did.
Really?
Yeah. It's like not, because they're not scary. Like it's, and so part of my brain is like, oh, they're like,
They're going to be fine with this.
No, it is scary, though, because it's the scariest. It's the scariest possible thing because it's human beings like
it's
fucking
like human
with each
manipulation. I would say it's not scary so much as it's so upsetting.
Cruelty.
It's cruelty. It's just human cruelty for fun.
Yeah.
For fun. It's sadistic. And like, it's honestly because all of those, all the movies with demons, all the movies with ghosts, even the movies with like torture porn are more unrealistic than this in a way.
Yeah. I like, you could totally ruin your life with one bad choice. Like yeah. that thing about just like,
when also, to be fair, he didn't really even make a choice ever in the movie. I mean, he like let it happen at one point. But like, yeah, that was, he said no a lot.
Yeah. Also, if you just, if all you do is have sex with somebody who's not your wife, it's like that's a mistake, perhaps, depending on his context of his relationship. But does it mean your whole life should get ruined? No.
No. Well, and it shouldn't mean your kids have to like go through whatever they're about to go through because this kid's lives are about to be ruined. Yeah. Eli Roth, you can go fuck yourself. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first and you'll hear it here over and over and over again.
You can go fuck yourself.
It's so funny. It made me like Eli Roth more.
Wow. Look, I certainly prefer this over The Green Inferno.
The Green Inferno is just very bad. This, I think, specifically also because Keanu Reeves is in it. Maybe if it was someone else, I certainly would have liked it probably less because obviously. But I put it on at like 11:45 and was like, I'm just going to watch like 15 minutes of it. And
you watch the whole thing.
And I watched the whole thing. I was having a good time. I had to know what was going to happen. I was hooked. I laughed a lot in it. And I think it is like intentionally funny. Like,
look,
Eli
I
Roth
laughed
is,
some too.
Is making some jokes here that are pretty funny. But he also clearly, doesn't think very hard about any like messages he's trying to know. He's just like, I feel like Eli Roth just like gets a log line idea for a movie and he's like, cool, let's do it.
Yeah. And it, especially that like, oh, all you men are the same. It's like, no, I don't know, right. I disagree with this fundamental premise of like, you fucking sick man, two women came into your home, got naked, threw themselves at you, forced themselves upon you, and then you eventually let them suck your dick, you piece of shit. It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know that I
don't think we come to Eli Roth for our morality tales.
No, I don't think this is feminism, actually.
No. Happy birthday, Keanu.
Happy birthday. It was worth it for that one scene for me. I do have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, my opinion has not changed on Eli, not for me.
Mine has, he's not my favorite. And I will say the movie still like looks like shit. It's written poor. It's still a bad movie. Don't get me wrong.
It looks like shit. That's funny.
Looks like shit. It's written terribly.
It's like you can basically see the floodlights in the background. Like they're just like such sharp lighting that just looks very fake. And all of his movies like look bad like that.
even in the clip that we saw, I was like surprised that Ana de Armas and Lorenza looked the way that they did. And it wasn't how I was picturing it. Like it just looked worse. Yeah, it looked worse than what I was picturing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we did it. And I'm glad because this is when I had told you that I've like debated watching. So I'm like, oh, I don't know, Keanu. Maybe. And no, fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
I don't want to do this myself.
You can skip it. That's what I'm here for.
Wow. Yeah, I think she does a service to us all.
So, I don't know. Do we try to do a Keanu Reeves voice?
You tried to fuck me? You fucked me.
You fucked me.
You fucked me.
Because I fucked you.
What?
Oh, I'm a flight attendant. I'm a flight attendant. Starfish, husbands. God, it was good. Okay. From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you really want to make our day, you can rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want even more content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. We will be back next week with a regular episode. We love you a lot. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.